Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jack Swindlehurst. A preview show here for you again, another week towards the end of the season. I'm joined by Tom Walker to look ahead to this week's visit of Charlton and all other Cambridge United news. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, kind of plodding on. We're at Thursday again, and that means we're closer to Saturday again. Before we look ahead to the Charlton game, some big results in midweek in League One.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, it just takes a little bit of the pressure off, doesn't it? I think the Cheltenham result's the big one, isn't it? And I think we said on the show after the Blackpool game, like, we're in this weird sort of limbo stage where we feel like we're about there and we feel like we're about safe, but you know, there's a lot of other teams around us with a lot of games to play, so you can't kind of rest on your laurels, I guess. But not saying we can do that now, but you know, we're a long step of the way there. I think if you look at something as simple as the bookies' odds, they tell you that sort of after Reading, I think it was about 11-4 for us to go down, which I think is about as short as it got, which ironically was the point at which I absolutely piled on us to get relegated. And ever since then, like, the odds have just lengthened and lengthened and lengthened. I think we're now 25-1 to get relegated. So, you know, if you're still worried, get a few quid on that, and that'll be your insurance policy.
Yeah, I'm not resting on my laurels, but I might be leaning on them. Certainly interesting for Cambridge United. We don't really want to touch on any other results from the week, because Port Vale losing was a big one, but talking about that game too much will lose as many subscribers.
Yeah, bit of a weird situation that, wasn't it? Wanting Posh to do you a favour, which admittedly, when they went a goal up, my immediate reaction was get in there, because obviously that's good for us. But I will say, by the end of the game, I had a little glance upwards at the table, which obviously we've not been able to do so much this season. And the positivity that I felt about Port Vale losing and therefore, you know, remaining 5 points behind us, having played a game more now, was very quickly extinguished by having a look at the top end of the league table and seeing that Posh are very much in the running for the top two. So, you know, if you're going to play a fire, be prepared to get burnt, I guess. That's probably the takeaway.
Well, yeah, let's move on from that very swiftly. How valuable was it for Cambridge United not to have a game in midweek, though?
I guess the answer to that is probably the same as sort of how important were the other results, right? Like, it kind of doesn't matter too much now if we play or not play, and I guess if other teams around us can't pick up points, like, it's simply just a case of there's another game less, but the gap remains the same, and therefore it's more likely that we'll stay up. I think weirdly, after Blackpool, like, you wouldn't have minded a game on the Tuesday night. I guess, you know, it's good to have the week off, and you'd like to think that means we'll be rested, particularly compared to a Charlton side who had a bit of a ding dong during the week. But you know what, like, the way the second half went at Blackpool, that it wasn't a total onslaught from us. Like, let's not rewrite history, but you know, we did play well. I think we would have come out of that game with a little bit of momentum, weirdly, even despite having lost it. So I don't think it would have been the worst week to play. But yeah, I guess for Gary Monk, it's another full week on the grass, and that's obviously something that he'll crave ever so greatly.
Well, so, speaking of Gary Monk, that was a point raised in his press conference. Another one, Ryan Bennett available for Saturday, and he's trained all week. Would you bring him back in, considering how good Charlton are going forward?
Yeah, potentially. I think his experience is something that at times has been really useful. But I guess you can look on the flip side of it and say that at times he's cost us a lot of points. And, you know, although we're not mathematically safe, you might suggest we're in a position where we've got half an eye on next season in terms of what we're going to do. And I think, I guess the other caveat to that is that, like, Rossi played pretty well at Blackpool. And he's someone that's just, it's been stop and start and stop and start and stop and start for him pretty much his whole time since he joined the club, whether it's injuries, whether it's making, you know, dodgy mistakes and seeing him drop out of the team. And yeah, like, he played pretty well at Blackpool, and I'd be tempted to say he should keep his place based on that. But, I guess a bit of experience against the sort of players that we're going to come up against in that Charlton team, like particularly an Alfie May, for example, who has caused us no end of problems over the last sort of 3 or 4 years. It might not be a bad thing to have someone who is a little bit more battle hardened, shall we say, to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, another point that Gary Monk raised in the press conference, Rossi's performance. Talking about injuries then, no new fresh injury concerns, but Michael Morrison and Lyle Taylor still out. Given us a little less kind of variation in the squad, do you go kind of how we went at Blackpool?
I'd be surprised if it was too different from that, to be honest. It feels like we've clicked onto a sort of quite good thing with the change in shape. And I think particularly, you mentioned those two players that are out in terms of Lyle Taylor and Morrison. We've just talked about obviously having Ryan Bennett available. Rossi's played quite well, so you could argue it's maybe not the worst time in the world to suffer an injury to your captain if ever there was a good time, because there's a couple other players there who could come in his place. And up front, Ahadmay, I think one March player of the month. I think he played about half an hour in March. So look, that's obviously partly a reflection on how well he was playing for the minutes, literally minutes that he was on the pitch. And obviously, I guess partly a reflection for how the others contributed. But the point being that he's on really good form, looking really sharp. So I think you'd be hard pressed to change anything too much based on those injuries there. I guess the changes that you might see maybe are more in terms of personnel. Me and Julian spoke after the Blackpool game about how we'd like to have seen Lancaster maybe playing one of those roles, just to take a little bit of sort of creative pressure off the centre mids. I'd like to see that maybe happen again against Charlton. But yeah, it remains to be seen. But I'd be pretty surprised if there was anything too surgical that happens.
We'll go into a bit more analytical detail about the Charlton game after the long-awaited preview. But just before we look ahead to that, some pretty savage youth team people leaving this week. How do you see that going?
Yeah, it's a tough time. We had like a really brief chat about it again, like on the review show after Blackpool, and for those that have been released, like it must be really difficult because they've kind of built everything towards getting a pro contract, and simply to be told that that's not going to happen must be quite gutting. But we've retained some good talent. I'm not going to pretend to know everything about these guys. We've seen particularly in Njoku and particularly obviously particularly McConnell in sort of little bursts here and there, and they've got pretty good potential. People have seen probably more of the cup run, the youth cup run that was last season, so the likes of Dan Barton in there as well. But yeah, like it's a weird time. I think Monk talked a little bit about it in his presser, and like you said, it can be a brutal time in the season, I guess. But it's like that for a lot of clubs. It's like that for a lot of players, regardless of experience. We're going to be coming up to the retain list soon. There's going to be a lot of people moving on, and that's just the way it is. The nature of the beast, I guess.
Absolutely. Monk was also asked about that in his press conference. I'm not going to press you and get you to try and predict the future, but do you think this summer's going to be a bit of a rebuild?
I hope so. Because God knows we've sat here and criticised the way that the squad was built and the squad that we've ended up with in the months that have sort of preceded this. Yeah, obviously there's a time to talk about the summer, and there's a time to talk about what we may or may not do. But I think it's pretty evident that I think the profile of player that we go for needs to change a little bit. I don't think many of those who are out of contract have done much to deserve another one, if I'm being perfectly honest and perfectly frank about it. I think there's one or two who you might consider. I'm thinking like Kai Kai, Kachunga. I think there's a big question mark on Brophy. Certainly a worthwhile player, but would he want to wait around to potentially be a squad player next season? I don't know. Probably not. And for some of the other ones, it's really difficult to say. I will say the one bit of the pitch that I think could do with a bit of a rebuild is the midfield, and the difficulty we're going to encounter is that we do actually have quite a few players under contract there. So I'd like to think there might be a bit of shuffle in the pack there, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think definitely reducing the average age of the squad is important. Bringing in some potential as well, because there's very little resale value in this squad, and I think the way we're going to sustain ourselves at this level is by moving players on, bringing cash in that way, and reinvesting it into the wider squad. So yeah, a lot of thinking to do. I'd like to think that's been underway for a little while, but yeah, definitely work to do in the summer. That's for sure.
Still got to get over the line first, and that starts with Charlton visiting the Abbey on Saturday, and I caught up with Tom Wallin from Charlton Live. Right then, news fans, I'm joined by Tom Wallin from Charlton Live. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be here.
Bit of a Cambridge connection for you, Tom.
Yeah, born and raised in Cambridge, actually, in the kind of 90s and 2000s. So, John Taylor, Lionel Perez, players like that are players I remember. But my granddad knew the Charlton captain at the time, sort of arranged football session, training session with my football team and him. And that was it, really. Took me to a game that Charlton were in. And yeah, from kind of six or seven, I've always been Charlton. So, grown up in Cambridge and lived there until university. But been a Charlton fan since I can remember. So, it's nice coming back as an away fan, to be honest, and doing the whole Cambridge day out with people who perhaps don't spend as much time in Cambridge as I have.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. Mentioning the name Lionel Perez will get you a lot of brownie points in Cambridge for sure. Right, let's look towards the game then. Season so far, how's it gone?
Think I'd use the word wasted. I think last season we looked at the league and there were some standout teams. I mean, Ipswich obviously did very well. Plymouth perhaps a bit surprised that they did as well as they did. Bolton, very good footballing side, although they didn't go up. So there was a lot of tough teams up at the top, and I think we struggled, to be honest. I think we're always backing ourselves to try and get out of this league because of the history of the club, but we did struggle. But going into this year, and pretty much every week on the podcast, we've said this league this year is not very good overall. And despite the fact that we're still kind of 15th in the league, I stand by that. I think we're 15th because we have let ourselves down, not because anybody else has been brilliant, to be totally honest. So, it's been tough. We started the season under Dean Holden, who'd come in midway through last year and done a reasonable job. He was sacked after about six or seven games, won the first game and then no more, and he was gone. And we brought Michael Appleton in, which at the time fans weren't happy with. He'd done an okay job at a couple of clubs, but didn't blow us away. And that's how it panned out, really. We had a bit of a bounce with him, but largely that was down to having players fit and players that Dean Holden hadn't had fit. When those players then got injured again, the side was exposed again. And I think Michael Appleton's inability to get a tune out of them was exposed as well, and it all became very toxic towards the end. He was sacked early part of this year. We brought in Nathan Jones in February, I think it was, and he's been a complete breath of fresh air, really injected positivity back into the team and the fans. I still don't think the squad is particularly good, and I think there's going to be an element of overhaul yet again in the summer, but I think if Nathan Jones sticks around, which it sounds like he's going to, I think there's some positive signs on the horizon, albeit I think the league will be stronger next year with the likes of Wrexham potentially coming up, who obviously come up with a huge budget, and a couple of bigger teams coming back down. So, yeah, it's been a frustrating season, a wasted season, but I think we're very much kind of looking ahead now, now that we're pretty much, well, I think we're safe now. So it's looking ahead to next year, really.
I'm sure you know this stat, but you've scored the most goals outside the playoffs. Is your defence been the problem this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is as simple as that. I mean, Alfie May is the top scorer in the league, and he's got players around him who've done well as well. Corey Blackett-Taylor was a particularly strong player for us. He went to Derby in January, although I saw he missed basically an open goal from 2 yards out this week. So he hasn't enamoured himself with the Derby fans yet, but he was doing well. Chuksunike, when he's fit, can score goals as well. So we've got goals throughout the side. And as you say, it's no secret the amount of goals we've scored, but in terms of conceding the amount we have, we're up there for the most there as well. So, yeah, the stats don't lie, to be honest. Obviously, I see us week in, week out, and you guys don't, but the stats bear that out. We have made basic errors pretty much every single game. And on Charlton Live, we're starting to talk about what next season might look like. And to be honest, it's a restructure of the defence and possibly the goalkeeper as well. I think everybody has made a case for perhaps having potential. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be six players out and six players in, but certainly we need to find a way to tighten it up. We kept a clean sheet the other night. Sorry, not on the game on Tuesday, but a couple of games ago on Easter Monday, I think it was. And that was maybe our second or third clean sheet of the season. They've been really, really hard to come by. And yes, you've got Alfie May banging goals in, but when you're having to score a minimum of two to win a game, that's kind of why we're where we are. So yeah, it's been I mean, it's been funny at times to see some of the standard of defending. It's been maddening at other times, but yeah, that's why we're where we are. And yeah, that's going to be something Nathan Jones is going to have to focus on in the summer.
Yeah, looking back through April, then I mean, 0-0 Easter Monday against Stevenage, like you say, then beating Barnsley, which we also did. Alfie May at the double, and then a 2-2 draw against Wigan. Is that kind of been the story of your season, really?
So I think we're 12 unbeaten under Nathan Jones now. I think that's right, and a lot of draws in there. But as you say, we did beat Barnsley. I think going back slightly further, we beat Derby away, we drew with Portsmouth, we drew with Bolton. So this goes back to my point that even those teams up there, we can compete with them, provided we don't do anything stupid. Nil-nil draw against Stevenage. I'm sure you know Steve Evans. You guys know what he can do for a team. Very sort of structured team and just looking really to kill us on set pieces, and we just couldn't break them down. And then against Wigan on Tuesday night, it was silly mistakes again, really, that cost us. We got a very fortuitous goal against them. Probably should have been a foul. But then, yeah, just some sloppy defending again to concede. And I think Nathan Jones said it after the game. It didn't feel like a 2-2. I think probably, you know, we had chances, particularly at the start of the second half, where we could have gone 3, 4, 5 up, and we just didn't take them. So that was one of the rare occasions where we didn't. Chuks Anike missed from 2 yards out, a bit like Corey Blackett-Taylor, I was saying, although he did get a goal later on. So yeah, it was again just one of those days where I think at this stage of the season you kind of leave the game and go, well, it's quite an entertaining 2-2 draw. But if we'd have been fighting for the playoffs, or if we were kind of where you are and kind of scrapping a little bit more, we would have been angry. But yeah, we've kind of just about given ourselves the luxury of enjoying, I guess, the last few games, although we're still disappointed with the season. And yeah, just kind of take our medicine now and as I say, focus on next year.
Yeah, very much so. Look into the game ahead then. How do you guys set up then, generally, and then, against Cambridge, how do you think you're going to set up?
Yeah, so we've tended to play under Nathan Jones a 5-3-2. So we have two wing backs, and yeah, three in midfield, and then three up front as well. Sorry, and then two up front. Those wing backs kind of provide the threat as much as possible, although they're slightly more defensive than, as I say, when we had Corey Blackett-Taylor. We had a couple of injuries on Tuesday night. I don't think they're going to be long term or anything, but it gave him an opportunity to kind of switch it up, particularly when we went 2-1 down to Wigan. So he did play a flat 4-4-2 at one point. He then went to almost a 4-2-4 towards the end of the game, and a 4-3-3 at some point as well. So he really mixed it up through that game. But generally, he starts with a 5-3-2, with, as I say, those two kind of wing backs providing a 3-5-2 when we're kind of going forwards. And everything really goes through Croy Anderson in the sort of tip of midfield. Daniel Kanu, who partners Alfie May up front, is good at kind of holding up the ball and moving it around as well. But most of our attacks then come from that width. So you've got Thierry Small and on the left-hand side in particular, who looks very dangerous. He's a youngster who we got from Southampton just till the end of the season. I think maybe he'd worked with Nathan Jones before, but we've got the option of keeping him on next year, which I think we'll do. At right back, we've had a few changes. We brought in Tenai Watson on Tuesday, who usually has played there throughout the season. He started on Tuesday night, but that was the first time he'd started for a while. And he had to come off injured, and Kane Ramsey, who played a few games recently and actually looked very good, came back on. So if it's Ramsey and Small at wing backs, I think that's where the danger is for Cambridge, probably.
Yeah, so looking through the back of your season, do you think, like, because you've got quite an admirably big squad, whereas you've got quite a small one, do you think, you've almost had too much choice this year?
Nathan Jones has talked about stripping the side back for sure over the summer. We brought a lot of loanees in, both in the summer and at January, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. We've benefited from loans in the past from players that are now playing pretty consistently in the Premier League. Conor Gallagher, for example, was a loanee we had for a season. Jezu Aksaki hasn't had as much opportunity at Palace this year, but we had him on loan. Christian Bielik now playing at Championship at least. Josh Cullen, who's playing for Burnley in the Premier League. So we've benefited from loans in the past, but the loans this season just haven't really, on the whole, hit the mark. We got Fiorini in from Man City. We got Louis Watson in, I think, from Luton. There's a whole host of players that came in on loans with pretty good reputations or from reputable clubs and just haven't really done anything. And we've resorted back to our youth team, which or rather youth players, which consistently has been a success at Charlton. And Daniel Carney, who I mentioned, Croy Anderson, who plays at the tip of midfield, are two in particular who've really stood out. But yeah, that seems to be the way Nathan Jones is going now. He's made no secret of the fact that he doesn't really care whether players are out of contract at the end of the season or if they are loanees. If it's his strongest side, he's going to play it. So he's very much just focused on the next game. He's not sort of just playing players that are going to be here next year. But I think naturally that's the way it's gone anyway. And those loanees that we have had haven't really worked out. So obviously they'll go back in the summer anyway. And then with the permanents, there's a few out of contract and all of that sort of stuff that I'm sure any club has to deal with. But I do think the side will look different next year. And I'm interested to see what he can build because, as I say, he's brought real positivity back to the club in recent weeks.
Yeah, looking at former Cambridge players, which we always do, Lloyd Jones, we were sad to see him go. How much of a difference has he made?
So I would say, despite the fact that our defence has been, as I say, pretty poor on the whole, he's been the standout defender for us. He's injured at the moment. I don't know if he'll be fit in time for Saturday, but and he has still made mistakes. I'm not going to say he's been sensational, but he has looked pretty solid. I like what he does. I remember seeing him. I think he scored for you against us last season, and I remember thinking he looked pretty decent. So I was really pleased to get him in, and again with my Cambridge kind of background, knowing a few Cambridge fans, they were equally sad to see him go, as you say. So, yeah, he has been good. I like what he offers. I think he's got leadership potential going into next season. And if we are going to be bringing new players into the defence, obviously you're looking for consistency overall. So, if there is one or two established players there that can help the new players bed in, and we can start to build a consistent back line from early on next season, I certainly would like him to be a part of that, and I think most Charlton fans would. He certainly won't win Player of the Year this year. I think that's pretty much nailed on for Alfie May. But if he came in the top three, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, because I think mostly, despite the goals we've conceded, people have been impressed with him.
Yeah, I mean, we miss him dearly. Before we look ahead to the game, what do you reckon? Impossible question to answer, really. What do you reckon aims are for Charlton next season?
It has to be promotion, to be honest, in terms of aims. Whether that's achievable and whether we do it is obviously the impossible part of that question. But in terms of aims, it has to be promotion. I think this is the longest we've spent at this level, possibly in our entire history. I know the Premier League years were a long way ago, and I'm not the sort of fan that says we should be a Premier League team by any stretch, although I grew up supporting a team that were in the Premier League. I think we probably should be or should aim to be in the Championship and stabilising ourselves there. Again, we've got no God-given right to be there, but we're a 27, 28,000 seater stadium. We're London based. We have good connections with lots of big clubs. We have a youth academy that's, churning out the likes of Joe Gomez and Ezri Konsa, who are in the last England setup. So, we've got that potential there. We've had ownership changes a lot over the last few years. I'm sure some of your listeners will be aware of some of the bigger ones under Roland du Châtelet a while ago when there was lots of kind of big publicised protests. But even the last couple of years, there's been a lot of ownership kind of changes. We've got an ownership in now who are saying all the right things, but we're kind of sick of hearing that and we want to see some proof. So, yeah, it's a big summer for them. They didn't have a full summer last year, which I think was part of the problem. But if they put their money where their mouth is this summer, if we can build on what Nathan Jones is starting to create, as I say, I do expect the league to be harder next year. But I think if you've got a bit of grit and determination about you in this division, it actually carries you a long way. So, we're starting to see that from this team now, and the hope is we can kick on and build on that next year.
Right, down to the crux point then. This Saturday's game, how do you see it going?
I think, to be honest, we're just going to come out and play pretty freely. As I say, I know we're pretty much safe. I think it might even mathematically be safe now, but certainly I can't see six or seven clubs overturning that the point swing either way. So, yeah, I think we'll come out and we'll give it a good go. Nathan Jones is not a man to let players kind of rest. So yeah, you'll see him animated on the touchline, which love or hate, will certainly get the players fired up. So yeah, I think we'll come out with high energy. As I say, from a Cambridge perspective, you're looking for defensive mistakes, and they are always there. So if you can pounce on your opportunities, then you've got every chance of scoring for certain. It's just about whether you can keep the likes of Alfie May and Daniel Carney quiet. And when Chucks and Ike comes on, which is usually around the 65th minute mark, purely because he needs to manage his fitness, he's a handful, and I haven't seen a single defender in the league really cope with him. So even if we're just at 1-1, or if we are ahead when he comes on, I'd expect Cambridge to struggle from that point. But if you get yourselves in front from a mistake, then give us some work to do, and obviously we become more open. I'm hoping it will be an entertaining game, again, a bit like last year's was.
Score prediction then.
As I say, I think we'll definitely both score. I wouldn't. If I had to just pick a number, I'll say 2-2. I think we did that obviously on Tuesday night, and I can see goals in this game as well. I don't know if Lyle Taylor's going to be fit or free. No,
No,
so
sadly
that's
not.
a weight off our mind. And if Macaulay Bonne is fit, he obviously won't score. So yeah, but I'll say 2-2. I think that would be yeah, I'd be happy with that given we're safe now. And I don't particularly want to see Cambridge go down. So if we can give you a point or two towards that, then I'll be happy enough.
Very much appreciated. Tom, listen, thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, no worries at all.
Thanks to Tom Wallin. Over to Tom Walker. Interesting time to play Charlton. How tough's that game going to be? They're on a long unbeaten run, but lots of draws.
Yeah, like it is really tough. I think when you look at the January that they had, particularly, obviously Jones came in, which is Nathan Jones, that is, and like they seem to just in the last sort of week of that window just sign players of real quality. And I think if you look throughout their team, and I guess it's never really been much of a kind of concern with Charlton. It is the quality they've got in the squad. It's always been about how it's been put together and how it's looked on the pitch. Mate, honestly, I look at this, I just think, how many goals is Alfie May going to score? Because it feels like every time he plays against us, he's just been such a constant thorn in our side. Like, I think he scored at their place earlier this season. He seemed to always score against us for Cheltenham. I think if maybe I'm dumbing this down a little bit, but is it a case of keep Alfie May quiet, keep Charlton quiet?
Yeah, it could be. And do you think we're going to do that? Do you think we're going to set up five at the back as we have been doing of late, or do you think there might be a change of system?
No, I think it will look pretty similar, to be honest. I guess it has to, right? Like, it'd look weird if you work for 2 weeks in an international break on a system, which then yields two brilliant results, arguably the two best results of our season, particularly the two best back-to-back results of our season. An okay-ish, relatively encouraging performance of Blackpool, then sort of rip it up and start again. I think that'd look pretty weird. I guess sometimes it's a bit horses for courses, isn't it? And you just kind of put a team together for what you're coming up against. But yeah, I would expect it to look pretty similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Obviously, we travel to Bristol Rovers on Tuesday, and we'll look ahead to that at the weekend's pod. But as a pairing of games, what do you think is a good return from these two?
It's a bit of a weird one to kind of think about, I guess, because I think we're all pretty realistic. I'd like to think people listening would agree with this at least to some extent. But I'm not being funny. If you lose both games and everyone else around you loses both games, you're pretty much safe. So I'd argue that's a pretty good outcome. I will say, to you, Swindon, we were talking about the impact of Posh's result in the week at the top end of the table. All I ask, literally all I ask from the remainder of this season, and God knows we've not been given much to hang our collective hat on. From the rest of the season, but please, 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 whatever we do, get ourselves in a position so by Derby, if we need to, if we really need to, we can just totally chuck that game, because anything that we can do, because Lord knows we didn't do it in the games against Posh, but if we can at least gift wrap their promotion rivals 3 points, then let's make sure we're in a position to do that.
Absolutely. Long may that continue if we're safe. But if we're not safe, then obviously we need to go again against Derby. But
Well, you say that, I think there'll be maybe it's just me, but oh mate, I'd love it if we lost against Derby. I'd love it if we lost against Derby.
that's the reverse Kevin Keegan going on there. Right. Looking ahead to the Charlton game then, Tom, as its own game, what's your prediction for how the game's going to go?
Like to think it'd be quite entertaining. Like, the thing we've not mentioned yet is it's basically going to be a virtual, well, pretty much a sellout at the Abbey as well, which has happened, I guess, a few times this season and sort of over the last couple of years. And it's been a remarkable thing that attendances have not just held up, but probably got better despite, some pretty indifferent, should we say, moments on the pitch. So it's going to be one hell of an atmosphere. You know, you'd think, I guess Charlton fans will be very much in just kind of end of season vibes, probably just enjoying it a little bit. They'll want to see their team doing, you know, at least entertaining them, I guess. So maybe that's the approach that they'll go with. It's not going to be one where they're going to be, I would guess, really grinding out and gritting for every, you know, every kick and grinding out points and stuff. It'll just be a case of, can we show a little bit of what we've got to look forward to next season? And from our side, I mean, what more motivation do you need, right? Like, sold out ground, you've got a big club coming to town, you know, a chance to take a scalp, which I guess Charlton still are, you know, in this division, despite the fact playing them now seems to just be pretty normal. Maybe that's one of the sort of luxuries that we've gotten used to. But yeah, I'd like to think firstly we can pose a threat. Because I think if we're looking for signs of encouragement to take forward into next season, which again, hopefully is a League One season, I think an ability to impact games at the top end of the pitch has to be a real thing that we're working on, because like, it's lacked just so dramatically for so long. So that's one thing I'd look for, and how can we get at Charlton is the big thing. But also, you know, how can we deal with their threats? Basically, let's just play really well, I guess. Is that asking too much?
Well, play well and win. So I'm going to ask you again, what's your prediction? Score prediction for the game, mate, please.
I'll probably go with a score draw. How about
Well, I'll take that. It's better than no answer. Listen, Tom, it's been a long old season and there's still a long way to go, but we're getting there, mate.
Yeah, aren't we just? Yeah, we were talking earlier about Ryan Bennett, battle hardened. I think we're pretty battle hardened by now, right?
It feels like it. But yeah, on the home straight, we might get shot out the back of the farm, but we're nearly there. Listen, Tom, thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all. See you again.